I'm Joanne, and I'm an addict. And I'd first like to thank the convention for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope just for today. I'd like to take a moment of silence for the people that are still suffering. Okay. Thank you. This is an easy subject for me just for today. I live to use and used to live. I never thought I was going to get clean. I never wanted to stop using. I came in Narcotics Anonymous by way of just not wanting to stop use. I remember coming into Narcotics Anonymous when I just had my first child, and I was in New York City, and I remember going to work pregnant, and I just said I would never use again. And I came back to D.C. 3 weeks after I had him, and as soon as I got back, I used. I went into a drug program called KDAC, St. Elizabeth, the biggest nut house on the East House, on the East Coast. And I remember my parents dropping me off, and when they dropped me off, I was walking from the car to the door, and it was this lady sitting on a bench, and she was like, "Give me a dollar." And I looked at her, and I was like, "I don't have no dollar." She said, "If you had that dollar, buy that crack." So I easily went in my pocketbook and gave her a dollar. So, you know, just for today, I know that, you know, we are sicker than others. You know, some of us are sicker than others. And I was in the right place. You know, I completed that program, and they had to ask my parents to watch my son. And they did that. You know, I came out and I got a job, and I got into a relationship. I didn't have a sponsor, and right when I was going to celebrate my first year, I relapsed. And the thing about relapse is, for me, I didn't even think about it. I just went and did it. You know, I hear people in the rooms talking about when they're going through stuff, how, you know, I feel like a bill, or I feel like I want to use. I never have those feelings. And that's why I know this disease is cunning and baffling, because for me, one day, I was clean. And about 4 or 5 hours later, I had a 50 package in my hand. And I didn't even think about it. I just went and did it. I didn't call nobody because I didn't want to call nobody I wanted to use. You know, a relationship, not having a sponsor, and just doing what I wanted to do. I think I stayed out there, had to be about another 10 years. I was an extremist when I used. I sold everything. I stole everything. You know, I did what I had to do to use. I remember just uncontrollably stealing. You know, my parents looking at me in my eyes, and I'm saying, "I ain't do it." You know, they wake up, and the TV gone. I didn't do it. You know, going upstairs a week or 3-4 days right before Christmas, the Christmas tree gone. You know, I went with my mom to purchase the Christmas tree, and I knew right then, this joint is going back. It was $75. She got it from Heckinger, and I was like, this tree is going back to Heckinger. And I remember going up in the attic. I had that receipt. All I needed was a receipt because I was a receipt queen, too. I would pick receipts off the street and go back in the store and pick up the merchandise and return it. You know, that's what I did. I remember the tree went all the way up to the attic, and my mom had started getting sick. And I was bumping the tree down, just big. It was a long tree. And I remember it was bumping. "Joanne, what is that noise?" I said, "I don't know. Something fell." And she was too sick to really get up. But I asked to use her car, and I took that tree back to Heckinger and got that $75. And I remember going upstairs, "Would you go get the tree for the decoration?" I was like, "All right." You know, and it wasn't there. You know, and one more time, I didn't do it. You know, when I think about that, it was just amazing, the insanity that, you know, and the work that it took for us to use, for me to use. I couldn't wait until my mom got paid or whatever, and she had, at some point, they had to buy a safe to lock up their own stuff, you know, and I knew when she left that safe, she didn't turn it all the way. It was like one click. So no sooner did she leave that safe, I was right there when I was home. And I went back to turn it, and I couldn't even open it. I was mad. But I tried every single time She left that safe. I was right there trying to get into it. And I never did. One day it was open and I did get it, but I only took like $100. I was mad as a mug. You know, because I'm not going to smoke that much. You know. So if I leave it crack, I can come back. But it was locked by the time I got back. And the thing is, that safe is still in the house now. And my mom's not here. So I'm reminded on a daily basis, watching her on her knees open and close that safe. You know, it's just been so many times that I always thought that it was just going to be one dime or 120, you know, and that was it. Numerous occasions, because I was an addict that kind of used by myself. And I was in the basement using. And I have on my house dress, robe, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going out the back door to go to my neighbor's house to get a package. I'll be gone for 3 months. Robe and all, gone. I found clothes along the way. It didn't matter. You know, leaving the door locked, unlocked, my children inside and my parents inside. And when I go back, finally, I wonder why they won't speak. When I was in detox, they was like, "You are crazy." You know, you leave 3 weeks, you leave your children there with your parents, and you come back, and you wonder why they won't speak. You know, I'm like, that's the least they can do. Insane. You know, my mom passed in 1996. And I never forget how that was a toll on me, because I thank God that I was there, because I wasn't there a lot of times. I would leave my children there, and there was two at the time, for 3 and 4 weeks at a time, months at a time. I would never call. You know, I remember walking through the door, and my son, he'd look at me and look me up and down, and he'd just walk out the room. I guess he's wondering how long she's going to be home this time. And then he finally come around, and he said, "Where you been?" And I was like, "I got locked up," you know, and all these lies, you know. And I'm home 2 or 3 days just to rest, get some sleep, you know, feed them. And I was right back out the door. And as soon as they start to try to talk to me again, I was gone again. So it didn't matter. I lived to use and used to live. And I thought it was all right. You know, I was having fun. You know, I didn't care who I hurt. And I was hurting myself and others. The night I went home, I remember calling, telling them I was on my way, unlocked the door. I didn't have a key. And I remember calling, nobody answered the phone. I was right down the street. And nobody answered. I said, "Hmm." So I went upstairs and I sat on the porch and I knocked on the door and I knocked on the door and I heard my father say, "Margaret, Margaret." And I'm really knocking on the door by now because the phone is right by her bed. She didn't answer that, and then he can't wake her up, so I'm knocking harder. And when he finally come downstairs, he said, "You can kill your mother. Your mother's dead." And he wouldn't let me see her. I remember vividly him pushing the door. I'm pushing it. He's pushing it. I'm pushing it, you know, to try to get in there. He said, "You'll never kill me like you killed her." You know, I watched my mother deteriorate watching my children. And for a long time, I blamed myself. But I had to forgive myself. And I kept using. I mean, I didn't feel anything. She was buried. Didn't cry, didn't show any emotions. Everybody came over, looked at me like I was from death or something. And I remember going up her dresser, and everybody was up there going through her stuff as days went by, and they were taking things. And the only thing was on the dresser was a bottle of oil of Olay. And I took that, you know, because that's all I had to remember. But the program works. The program works. I stayed out there for some more years, and at that point, my father was taking care of my children. And he wasn't playing, though. Food stamp card was in his name. Everything in his name. We went grocery shopping. I remember he kept the food stamps. That's when they had the packs. Keep them in his pocket at the grocery store. And we'd get up to the register, and he would really pay the lady, and he'd hand them to me to give it to her. And I still was able to get a couple of them off before giving it to the lady. You know, he used to always call me a snake. He said, "You was a snake, crawling around the bed while my mother was asleep." She had to keep her money in a pillowcase. I stole from my family because I knew that they would be mad, and that was it. I wouldn't mess with people in the street because if somebody dropped something in front of me, I told them they dropped it because I knew what they would do to me. So I would tell them they dropped it. I wasn't trying to cuff it. I wasn't, you know, I would tell them they dropped something, you know, because I wasn't going to mess with their stuff. But I would steal everything in the house. I thank God that, you know, I never got a hold of that house or that deed or anything like that for the house, because that probably would have been gone too. So it got worse for me. My children were growing. My father was trying to take care of a child, two children. And then I had another one, a third one, fourth one. I'm sorry. But I was using when I had her. So I remember walking up my hill, and I couldn't hardly see the vision. My vision was blurry. And I was like, wow. And I went in the house. I said, Dad, I can't see. He was like, whatever. You know, because he's tired by then. He's angry. He's disappointed and all that. And I said, I think I need to go to the doctor. So he said, okay. So I called my brother, asked him to come and get me, take me to the hospital. But before he got there, I had fell out at the front door. My father said all he heard was a bam. And I fell back and hit my head. And I remember my son told me, because I don't remember nothing until the next day, but he said I was throwing up, looked like it was steak and cheese or something, he said. But I was having probably seizures. But what it was eclampsia. And my pressure was 200 over 190. And I was at Greater Southeast Hospital. Face was this blown. They delivered the child. And they took her to Children's Hospital. And I said, wow, when I woke up, I'm never going to use again. This thing, if I take another hit, I'm going to die. You know, and I remember staying over there. My father never came to see me. I couldn't understand why he couldn't come see me. He was taking care of my children. You know, but somebody else had to tell me that because that wasn't good enough for me. But he finally came and brought the children to see me. And when I got out, I went to go see my daughter, and she weighed under 1 pound. She had a hole in her heart. And I was scared. I was scared to use. So when I finally got released, I was on high blood pressure medicine. And I came home, and the guys kept calling me. I said, don't call me no more. You know, I can't do this no more. I can't use. I got medication and all this other kind of stuff. And I remember I had to ask my father, could I bring this child home one more time? And he said yes. He had to go outside and smoke because she had the apnea monitor, oxygen, and all of that. I showed my children how to work the machine with the little leaves on her and all this. And every day I was getting better, and I was feeling good. Until one day I got a call, and I said, come on over. And I used right in the house with the baby. Mm-hmm. And not only did I do that, the kids knew how to work her equipment so good. I said, yeah, I'll be right back. I'm going to get some McDonald's. I'll be right back. My father's in the basement. But like he said, he didn't hear me leave out. I was gone, right down the street. The next morning, I was down. She wasn't even using, just scared to go home. To face it, kids there, my father there, the baby there. What am I going to do? They came down and said, Joanne, at your house, the ambulance. I came running up the hill. My aunt came from around the beltway with a baseball bat, and police was there. Social services were there. And I found out my father wasn't even the one to call. My neighbor called. They said he wasn't even, it's not about me anymore, it's about that baby. So they took her out that night. And they wanted to take the other two kids. My father said, I got them. And that's when my recovery started. About a month after that, I was still, I had, you know, they taken her, so that was neglect. I was taking urines. They was all dirty. And I kept telling them I wasn't using it. It was the high blood pressure medicine. You know, I'm not smoking no more. They was like, Ms. Donaldson. My quarter pointed joint, he said, this coming back positive for cocaine. I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm not using. You know, my father would faithfully take me to get my urines. I go in there. It wasn't even, I knew it was going to be dirty. I go in there and tell them, you know, I missed my appointment. I tell my father I need $35 to take my urine. He ain't know no better. He gave it to me. And no sooner he brought me home, I left right back out and used. You know, this has been a journey. I remember when the judge said, we either going to put her in adoption or you're going to go to treat and get treatment. So in January of 2001, I went into a program, and I haven't looked back. I'm celebrating 10 years. I've had 10 years. Now, it's been a journey, but God is good. And my daughter is 12 years old. She's 12 years old, and she is a miracle. She really is. My father was able to see me clean for a year until he passed. He passed in 2002. And I was clean. And we've been becoming friends again, you know. And the blessing is I'm living in the same house that I use in every room of that house with my children. You know, still a lot of reminders in that house. How insane is to go in the freezer and blow some smoke in there and then come right back out? You know, I'm using every part of that house. But today, just for today, I have not used. I have a desire to. You know, my oldest son is 21. He's in his third year in college. He want to be a prosecutor. Yeah. And I have a 17-year-old in 11th grade, and then my 12-year-old. I have a son that's 15, and I just had him and took him to Atlanta because my father said, you're going to stop having these kids and leaving them here. So that one, my cousin has him. She has legal guardianship in him. And that's something that because he doesn't know I'm his mom. My first cousin, who has the first and the last name, is mine. She has legal guardianship of him. I'm paying $629 child support, and he don't even know I'm his mom. You know, so that's a battle, because do I tell him the truth or what? But that's on a daily basis. I talk about that. You know, I reach out and get help. I see him, but he still doesn't know who I am. Everybody knows who he is except for him. So, but that's going to get better, too. You know, he's worked everything else out. He's going to work that out, too. So, you know, I've been employable. Just doing what I have to do to take care of the kids. You know, and take care of me. I wouldn't trade that journey in. Because it's been a life experience. You know, I look back and I look at where I am now. And everything happened to me. I thank God I'm here. Because I didn't have to be. You know, I'm still taking high blood pressure medicine because I have to. And just trying to do the right thing. I'm excited about recovery. When I first got here, I grasped this program immediately because I was tired of using. Even though I thought I had a good time doing it, I was tired because it was so much energy to try to stay, you know, to try to use. And the lying, you know, I think about my parents a lot. I have two brothers, you know. But I think about my parents a lot. But everybody say, you know, they're looking down. But sometimes that's not good enough. You know, because I just want to see them. And I know I will one day. But keep coming back just for today. One day at a time, 10 years. Never thought I'd make it. Yeah, it's been a journey. My name is Joanna. Thanks for letting me share.